my name is Steffi Buss, and I am doing another one of our brilliant podcasts for the ICF Germany today. Today, I have the great pleasure to be talking to Silvia Kurpanek, whom I first met when we were both engaging in a coaching workshop years ago in Italy. And I remember, Silvia, that I was very fascinated when you told me that you were actually coaching in Silicon Valley in the US. Mm-hmm. And in order to share with our listeners who you are, could you tell us what you do and what kind of transition you made in your career life in order to become a coach?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much, Steffi, for this opportunity to speak at this podcast. Yeah, I always like to say in my previous life, I used to be an attorney. Like many frustrated lawyers, I got trained in mediation to have, you know, because I had the urge to do something useful in the legal field. This was around the time when my husband and I moved to California. We moved here for 3 years, and that's 20 years ago. So when we moved here, my first job was in mediation. I did all types of mediation, business mediation, you know, family mediation, all kinds of stuff. Found this satisfying and still not exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I then took an NLP training in Santa Cruz, which had been recommended to me by one of my mediation trainers in Germany, who told me, Silvia, in order to become a really good mediator, you need to get trained in NLP, but not any NLP training. Get trained with Robert Diltz in Santa Cruz, which is what I did. And there I discovered coaching, more or less, because most of the participants of this training came from all over the world, literally all over the world, and most were working as a coach. Mm-hmm. And then I had this epiphany thinking, that's exactly what I want to do. Now I know what I like to use my organizational psychology skills on. I like to do coaching. So that's how I then mm-hmm. discovered coaching.
So you were all of a sudden burning to coach, ready to mm-hmm. coach, ready to get started. Mm-hmm. Then how did you approach your clients, and then how far were they different from those that you were used to, or from the people that you were used to working with in Germany?
Yeah, so what I learned very fast is that here in Silicon Valley, where I, of course, started my coaching practice, people have everything but time. So it was clear to me that I had to offer something that is really, that doesn't take a lot of time and provides palpable, sustainable results in very few sessions. I had really gotten curious and got trained in a variety of coaching approaches in Europe, in the US, and in Canada. And I was driven by this desire at a certain point to make the best out of what I had studied, what I had learned, and create the best of mm-hmm. of the approaches that had really everything that I had learned fascinated me one way or another. So I started experimenting. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell my clients here in Silicon Valley. I didn't tell them that I was experimenting, and everybody survived.
And they were all the guinea pigs.
They were all guinea pigs at the beginning without knowing that. And so that gave me the opportunity to find out what exactly, which component of what approach combines well with what, and what works good, what works really well together to get sustainable results mm-hmm. and fast results.
Would you say you were innovative in that kind of way, in that kind of approach that you were using?
Maybe. It's so funny because here Silicon Valley stands so much for innovation, right? And in a way, I keep saying, in a way, this is somehow in the air or in the water, because you know, right, that Silicon Valley is famous for the technical technical approaches, but also in psychology, right? We all know the school of Palo Alto that made so much interesting headway in terms of systemic work that also originates here. So in a way, innovation is somehow in the air. And probably I caught that virus.
And I
don't think that I would have done this in Germany.
Now, the interesting thing is that you call your method Palo Alto coaching, and I really would like to find out what that is all about. Can you explain that method?
Happy to. So I call them, so the method's name is really due to the fact that I developed it here in Palo Alto. Again, it was very clear to me very soon that I had to do something different than normal coaching here, that I had to do something that provides fast and palpable results. So the gist of my method, the best of that I combined, is pretty much, I start with a solution-focused communication to find out with the client how exactly they will know that whatever we're going to do in this session has turned out to be useful and helpful for them. What do they do more, less, differently than they have up until then? And then comes a big break from solution focus, because then I ask the client, so what exactly do you think could still be in the way?
The obstacle.
Exactly. I ask for an obstacle, which is what you normally don't do in solution focused coaching. I not only check what the client has to offer to me verbally, but I use the muscle response test to pretty much confirm that what the client has just been telling me is really something that their limbic system is responding to with stress.
Ah, okay. Limbic system, good keyword. So first of all, I would like to ask a question about the awareness of your clients. Are they aware that there are obstacles hindering them from developing or getting ahead?
Let's put it like that. I think one of the biggest obstacles is that people continue with attempted solutions that haven't paid off yet. But there's a drive in us that keeps us repeating the same attempt in the hopes that one day it must work.
We just need to be better at it, right?
Exactly. You just have to do more. You just have to do it with more energy. You just have to do
greater effort.
Greater effort, something like that. And then it will work, which we as coaches know oftentimes does not work. So my explanation to my client is always, imagine there are two parts in your brain. There's one part, I have a little figurine that represents this part of our brain pretty well. This is called corti. This represents our cortex, our rational thinking brain, the part of our brain that is really good at analyzing and explaining, at rationalizing. Without that part, we wouldn't be where we are.
And they are probably very well familiar with that part.
They are very well familiar with that part, exactly. However, we also have another part. This is our limbic system, and I have a little figurine representing that. This is called Limby. And the thing is, Limby's main job is to keep us alive. Limby makes sure, Limby is constantly checking our environment for details that resemble something that Limby has already experienced and emotionally labeled somehow. So it constantly scans our environment for things that somehow resemble a previous experience. And once it comes up with something, our limbic system triggers an emotional response that in the end defines how we act, what we do, what parts of our ideas we really put into practice. So I always like to tell my clients, if your limby is not on board, you can't make headway with the best strategy. So a good example, for instance, is that the strategy of a client contains the idea of, attending a board meeting, of moving for the job, of getting a promotion. These are all keywords that to their cortical system, to their cortex, sound brilliant. The cortex is saying, absolutely, I'm in, count me in. The limbic system, however, of mine might say, no, wait a minute. You know, last time we had that, that happened. No way. And that's the basis of an internal conflict that people try to solve by attempting to put more effort into accomplishing their goal.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But as long as Limby is not on board, nothing is happening, or not a lot. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it costs a lot of effort and energy mm-hmm. and strength.
Now, let's say that they say, well, thank you for explaining that, Sylvia. It makes sense. But now how do I address Limby? Thank you for your rational explanation. I get that. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I get Limby on board?
Good point. That's when I have to provide my product information about my muscle response test and the other approaches that I then use to get their limbic system on board. So biggest problem with the limbic system is that it's not accessible through language. So every person who has ever had fear of public speaking knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you can tell yourself 100 times, everything is fine here, nobody attacks me, people like me, I know what I'm talking about. If the limbic system perceives something in their environment as threatening, it is taking over the show, and then the rational thinking brain is switched off. This is very unfortunate for the person who's standing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the attempt of talking yourself out of that nervousness gets you nowhere, because the limbic system is not accessible through language.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we try to talk ourselves out of or into things all of the time, because that's the way we are mm-hmm. socialized.
Now I'm getting more and more curious what you're then doing.
Yeah, but the limbic system is accessible with muscle response testing and with bilateral stimulation. So muscle response test comes from kinesiology, works the way the client makes a ring with two fingers. I try to separate this ring. Under normal circumstances, I can't. However, when the client is thinking of something that is somehow producing stress, I can easily open this ring.
Mm-hmm.
Clients immediately notice, okay, this is really weird. What is going on here? Then I explain, very simple biological explanation for that. By the way, this test really requires mutual trust and respect to work. Otherwise, it really wouldn't work. It's not a test. It's not a lie detector. So I explain to people that the goal for this test is really to help us figure out what exactly we need to address to get from A to B on the fastest and most direct way.
And to address that which is not showing in your speech or
exactly which is I want to get in touch with the limbic system. What exactly is the beef or the stress that the limbic system mm-hmm. has with an idea, with a goal, with a project, with a strategy? Once I have that, I help the client process whatever this stress trigger is in their most natural way. So I just have to close my window here, in the most natural way. So for me, our most natural way of self-management happens while we are sleeping. When we're sleeping, we go through the so-called REM phase, when our eyes go back and forth rapidly, which puts our brain into a very powerful processing mode. And in methods like EMDR, it was observed that by using this strategy, by guiding a person's eye movements when they are awake, it is possible to help people overcome trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think
many of us have heard of that. And I'm a bit fascinated to hear how you combine all those methods. Because on the one hand, I hear you say that people are very much focused on making fast progress, numbers, rationality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're coming in and introducing something using their fingers or saying, well, there's somebody on board that you don't even know of, that you're not even aware of.
Yeah, sounds sweet. So I have to really provide lots of product information. And again, I have to show them, I have to give them the opportunity to experience this firsthand immediately, in the true sense of the mm-hmm. word firsthand, very, very soon. So once we have identified something that the limbic system responds to with stress, mm-hmm. I ask them to focus on that very little detail, and then I guide their eyes in a particular way.
What could this be? Like, could you give an example of what?
So the client tells me, I feel really stressed at work right now, and I think this has to do with my boss. I'm mm-hmm. absolutely sure that all this started when my new boss was hired, and I check it has nothing to do with the boss. And then I check out other things. Okay, what projects are you working on? Project A, B, C. And then I get a weak response on project C. And then I check, okay, what exactly is going on with project C? Oh, yeah, I have a new client there. And then it turns out that there's something about that client mm-hmm. that is really kind of draining all that client's energy, mm-hmm. that they lack their usual level of motivation and creativity. But in their rational approach to explain what was happening, they blamed they thought their new boss was responsible for their lack of motivation mm-hmm. and creativity. And again, had I not tested that, had I just mm-hmm. had I just accepted that, and we had worked on how to better get along with the boss, and we might have missed the most important thing: the fact that the limbic system is stressed out about something that has to do with project C and that particular client.
And do they immediately believe you? Do they say, well, Sylvia, we're nice to hear, but nonsense?
They have to experience this first themselves. If I just explain this, wouldn't work. I have to immediately show
on.
How this works. Mm-hmm. Hand on, exactly.
Literally,
in the true sense of the word. Mm-hmm. And that really helps, because people realize, they notice very soon that the guided eye movements really do something. They really provide relief. Mm-hmm. They really lower the stress level, and they, you know, invite the system to come up with new ideas mm-hmm. and new solutions. People notice this very, very fast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people look at me like, yeah, okay, this is weird, but let's continue. So this is typical thing that happens mm-hmm. in the first session.
Next.
But then, mm-hmm. I have to take every doubt seriously. And I keep telling them, if I do something with you here, I offer something that makes no sense, please let me know immediately. Mm-hmm. So by that, if you have any doubts, please share them with me. Mm-hmm. And please be very, very skeptical. Mm-hmm. I even use this. I tell people, you know, there's so much stuff out there. People try to sell you all kinds of stuff. Please be critical mm-hmm. and check carefully if what I offer you mm-hmm. resonates with you and makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, to mm-hmm. me, it sounds like that would take, first of all, a long time and a lot of energy. But I do know that you say, I have, I think, a maximum of 5 sessions with a client,
yeah.
which caters to their needs to keep it short.
I oftentimes just need 1 or 2 sessions. Mm-hmm. On many, many challenges, coaching issues, we really just need 1 or 2 sessions. Mm-hmm. I give product information at the very beginning. People experience, you know, the muscle response test, the guided eye movements, maybe some other ways of bilateral stimulation, mm-hmm. which is bilateral tapping, for instance, or hearing, listening to particular sounds. Mm-hmm. That all takes maybe 15 minutes, 15 wow. or 20 mm-hmm. minutes. And then we are really in the process.
And they're in, yeah.
And then we are in. Mm-hmm. And then we can really work without any detours. I do the muscle response testing with them. So it's a back and forth. I ask them something, and mm-hmm. whatever they answer me, I confirm with the test to always make sure mm-hmm. that we are continuing on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Talking of making sure, then how do you make sure that they continue making progress or de-stressing or whatever their issue was? What's the follow-up? How do you proceed?
So normally in a session, I end the session with very powerful power sentences that somehow bridge what we've covered during the coaching session with their goal. And that is normally accompanied by a particular tapping protocol. And in my experience, these power sentences combined with tapping increases the likelihood that clients change their internal monologue. the way they talk to themselves. And that increases the likelihood that they actually do what they set out to do, mm-hmm. that they actually put strategies into practice, that their limbic system is on board and is no longer blocking mm-hmm. whatever their plans with, you know, all kinds mm-hmm. of creative attempts to keep people from doing that.
Yeah.
We all know what I'm talking about, I think.
Of course. Zivia, what is personally your biggest challenge in working with clients in Silicon Valley?
The biggest challenge is, let me just think, how would I state that? Yeah, of course. I mean, to get people into coaching, to that, in my view, and this is, I think, why I started working like this, there are so many people out there who could definitely benefit from coaching, but who don't even have this on the horizon, who think mm-hmm. this is just for very successful executives. It's just for athletes, for elite athletes. It's not for me. So for me, it's very important to lower the threshold so that people feel more comfortable trying this out without knowing that they start a financial and time engagement of whatever, several months.
Mm-hmm.
So I lower the threshold, get them into coaching by pretty much explaining mm-hmm. chances are very high that in one or two sessions, we make a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And
so most of our listeners, I suppose, are from Germany. And mm-hmm. what could you recommend to them to, or what would be something that we should learn from your coaching in Palo Alto? Is there anything that we can, that maybe has would be applicable in the future for us here as well?
So I personally think that in coaching in general, it's very important to go beyond the cognitive, to include the limbic system, to include the body, because we always have it with us, and it is a very it's very powerful when we include mm-hmm. it, when we have it, when we have it on board. Mm-hmm. So look for approaches that include the body in a way that either, you know, do guided eye movements, tapping,
mm-hmm.
other movements
mm-hmm.
that increase the likelihood that the whole system is mm-hmm. on board. And you know, you're just saying from Germany, and let me just mention this too. Some of the things that I just explained to you that I do in Palo Alto coaching strongly resemble wing wave coaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a method that I think many coaches in Germany are used to or are familiar with.
I think they know about it. Yeah. Uh-huh. But some of them apply it, I guess, but some mm-hmm. don't. Mm-hmm.
So I used to be a wing wave trainer, so I don't know the method very well. However, during my stay or my work with wing wave, I discovered several things that I thought could be done in a better way. Nobody was interested in that. And this is how at a certain point I decided to go my own way. In my view, it's very important to use this powerful approach, guided eye movements combined with muscle response testing, really in a coaching context.
Mm-hmm.
It really has to fulfill coaching purpose.
Yeah. So I hear, it seems to me that you really, and you mentioned this in the beginning, that you're really taking the essence of everything you learned and everything that made sense to you, and by exploring it with your clients, you found the very best combination of everything.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. So the way I work now is, for instance, it's definitely different from what I did 10 years ago. So mm-hmm. I can tell when I teach my method, I teach my method to other coaches in different countries. And just recently, somebody attended my training who had taken the training with me 12 years ago. And then she said, "My God, Sylvia, this is so different now." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, because in 10 years, 12 years, a lot of fine tuning has happened."
Mm-hmm.
And so for instance, at the beginning, I didn't work with power sentences
mm-hmm.
that are accompanied by tapping. Mm-hmm. I found out that they are so extremely powerful
mm-hmm.
that, and then I was happy to have found a way how to integrate it with the rest of the mm-hmm. work that I was already doing, to put this together.
Mm-hmm.
And also one little thing that is also important to me when I train, when I teach my approach to other coaches. I do not think that is sufficient to attend a training for 4 days and then you're certified.
Definitely.
I do not think that this is appropriate, and I don't think that this is sufficient.
I agree.
So this is why when people take the training with me, in order to get certified, we need, you know, I want two cases where they apply the method, that I give detailed feedback to those cases, mm-hmm. and we also have a supervision call.
Yeah.
I continue to offer supervision, mm-hmm. which I think is very important, because I don't know about you, but I've had my share of trainings that looked very easy during the time I attended the training. But once I was in my normal daily mm-hmm. life with my clients, I kept
exposed to reality. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I kept thinking, well, how did this work again?
Mm-hmm.
What was this about?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Also, one of the things that I definitely wanted to different than I've experienced it is in several of my trainings.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there for clients, for participants when they start to integrate this into their daily mm-hmm. work.
Thank you, Sylvia. There is one last question I have. Do you have the feeling that living and working in Palo Alto has in any way transformed your personality too? Have you taken over any characteristics, features of the way people act, speak, whatever?
I think I definitely got a better sense of how precious time is since I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is that you really know what you do some things for. Mm-hmm. I call this the big why. I'm not a big fan of why, of the question why. I always call the what for. What do people do things for?
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely something that every startup in Silicon Valley, you know, this is one of the first questions they are asked.
Mm-hmm.
The why.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the what for. What exactly is their purpose? What exactly is it that they set out to do? What exactly do they want to do differently?
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely something that has influenced my work and my mm-hmm. thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that time is very precious. It's limited,
yeah.
It's precious, and it is too bad to spend your precious time on attempted solutions that simply don't work.
Yeah, that is so true. I do believe that we spent the past 30 minutes really well.
Thank you. I hope so too.
I have the feeling that I really learned something interesting, and I got a great insight into what you're doing. Is there anything that I might have not asked yet that you'd still like to share with us?
Oh, I'm not sure, Chevy. I really like your questions. Thank you very much for this nice conversation. What I'm happy to do to offer is if anybody is interested in having a coaching session with me and just experiencing this either online or maybe even firsthand next time in Europe, contact me. I'm happy to give mm-hmm. to offer you a free coaching session with me to experience what I'm talking about firsthand.
That's great. Thank you.
And mm-hmm. I'm also happy to put a short document, a document online that people can download.
Mm-hmm.
That is a short exercise introducing eye movements that mm-hmm. everybody can do themselves in self-coaching. It's still
great.
Very, very powerful and easy. And I'm happy to provide that introduction.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. We'll put everything into the show notes.
Perfect.
And then all there is left for me to say is thank you very much for taking the time. And I look forward to seeing you on some other opportunity.
Thank you very much, Steffi. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Bye.